Thank you, Libby. Of course, we give praise and honor and glory to God because He is worthy. Look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message entitled, God's Gift of Worth. The scripture comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, written by King Solomon, who was endowed with God with supernatural divine wisdom. I'm going to ask everyone who's able to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. The more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. So what good is wealth? Except perhaps to watch it slip through your fingers. People who work hard sleep well, whether they eat little or much. But the rich seldom get a good night's sleep. There's another serious problem I've seen under the sun. Hoarding riches harms the saver. Money is put into risky investments that turn sour, and everything is lost. In the end, there's nothing left to pass on to one's children. We all come to the end of our lives as naked and empty-handed as on the day we were born. We cannot take our riches with us. And this, too, is a very serious problem. People leave this world no better off than when they came. All their hard work is for nothing, like working for the wind. Throughout their lives, they live under a cloud, frustrated, discouraged, and angry. Boy, we see a lot of that today, don't we? Even so, I've noticed one thing, at least, that is good. It is good for people to eat. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. To drink and enjoy their work under the sun during the short life God has given them and to accept their lot in life. And it is a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it. To enjoy your work and accept your lot in life, this is indeed a gift from God. God keeps such people so busy enjoying life, they do not take time to brood over the past. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for every good gift we receive at your hand. And Lord, today may we understand that work is one of those gifts. That we will receive it, thank you for it, and celebrate in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Many people will be off work tomorrow with pay. And that's because it's a federal holiday and a state, North Carolina state holiday. It was first celebrated on September the 5th, 1882, and then 8 short years later became a national holiday in 1894. It is a day when America stops and celebrates the hard work of the common laborer. Now, let me put that in perspective for you. Were you aware, for example, that Mother's Day is not a paid federal holiday and was not even declared an official day until 1914. Dads, you didn't do that well. Father's Day wasn't declared an official day of recognition until 1972. Okay? Columbus Day was not declared a federal holiday until 1934. And then the last federal holiday was in 1983, established by the United States Congress as Martin Luther King's birthday. But what I found amazing is I was trying to do a little research on Labor Day. Did you know in the state of North Carolina that Good Friday is a paid state holiday? Not in the federal government, but in the state of North Carolina, if you're a state employee, Good Friday is a paid holiday, and so is Thanksgiving, and so is Christmas. I want you to think about that. All three of those holidays are distinctly Christian celebrations. It's good to be a North Carolinian, okay? Today we're going to think about Labor Day and think about work. How many of you are not off of work tomorrow? You're probably not excited about Labor Day then. But here's what I want us to think about, and that's about work and labor. So maybe you're off tomorrow, maybe you're not off tomorrow. But how about Tuesday? Even if you're off tomorrow, you go back to work. Are you excited about Tuesday? Are you excited about being off, going back to work? I mean, a lot of people get excited about Friday. But I believe God's people ought to get excited about Sunday. You know, we're going to go, we're going to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever had a lost person preach you a sermon that convicted your heart? I have. I was working at James River Knits. I was working my way through college. We'd had great services that Sunday. I went in to work at Monday, and things weren't going all that well, and I was griping and whining and complaining. Y'all never do that at work, do you? And about that time, our general manager spoke to me, and he said, "Aren't you a Christian?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Did you go to church yesterday?" I said, "I did." He said, "Is Sunday not your best day?" I said, "Oh, yeah, it's my best day." He said, "If Sunday is your best day, wouldn't Monday be your next best day?" I never complained on my job on Mondays anymore. Now, I'm not saying I didn't complain on Tuesday, but it's tough to be rebuked by somebody that doesn't even know God. But you know what? God can use anything to get our attention. He used a worm to get Jonah's attention. He used a donkey to get Balaam's attention. And sometimes God can even use a lost boss man to get your attention. So today we're going to be looking at God's gift of work. And you might be thinking, "Preacher, I've called it a lot of things, but I've never called work a gift." But God's Word does. Notice there in verse 19, "Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and to be happy in his work, this is a gift of God." Now, why is it and how is it that work is a gift? I want to give you four reasons. Number one, work is a source of satisfaction. In verse 18, "Then I realized that it is good and proper for a man to eat and drink and to find satisfaction in his toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given him, for this is his lot." But notice there, God's Word says you find satisfaction in work. In 2006, an interesting book came out, and it was titled The Official Journal for American Attitude. So it went out and asked thousands of Americans their attitude towards several things. And here's what they found out in the area of work. 65% of Americans said they would still work even if they had enough money to live comfortably the rest of their life without working. Right? Now, that's two out of every three people. Now, why would two out of three people say, "I would still work even if I didn't need the money"? And that is, there's a certain amount of satisfaction that human beings get by performing work. God has put it in our DNA. But notice here, that is not the worldly view towards work. The world views work as simply surviving. Genesis 3:17, to Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life." Some folks, well, you know, work is bad. Work is something I have to do. Something I don't want to do, but I've got to do in order to survive. How many of you have ever seen the television show, The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis? A few of you. Well, there was a character on there. He was a teenage, they call him a beatnik. He was kind of a beach bum, and his name was Maynard G. Krabs, okay? Now, Maynard was allergic to work. He was played by the guy who would go on to play Gilligan, okay? And so what would happen is if somebody would say, "Well, we need to get a job. We need to do some work." And he would jump back, look in shock, and he'd say, "Whoa, work." Well, it just sent a shiver over. Well, that is the world's attitude towards work. Work is bad. You got to go to work. Well, I hope you don't work hard. Well, I don't know about you, but when I work hard, the day goes by pretty good. But this whole attitude about work is surviving. You've probably seen the bumper sticker, I owe, so off to work I go, you know. And so that's what it's all about. But I want you to contrast that to the biblical view of work as thriving. Not surviving, but thriving. In Genesis 2:2, "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work." Do you understand that God created human beings in his image? All right, so what is God doing in Genesis? God is working. He worked 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. And so God worked. He expects his creation to work because we're created in his image. If God worked, then work must be good because God is good. Not only that, but notice here, Adam and Eve were placed in a perfect paradise. And yet in Genesis 2:15, it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it." All right, so what was Adam doing in paradise? He wasn't sitting out on the beach eating grapes, being fanned by some beautiful mermaid, okay? He was working in the Garden of Eden. By the way, what do you think you're going to do when you get to heaven? You know what you're going to do when you get to heaven? You're going to work and serve God. You're not going to sit around floating on a cloud playing a harp. That doesn't sound like very fun to do that for all eternity. What are we going to do? We're going to work and serve God. We're going to rule in the universe as heirs and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. And so work is thriving. Have you ever seen Walt Disney's animated film, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? You remember the Seven Dwarfs? Sleepy and Sneezy and Dopey and Happy and Grumpy and Bashful and Doc. And every day they'd go to work singing, "Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go." And what are they doing? They're smiling and they're laughing as they go to work. That's what y'all going to do tomorrow, right? Or Tuesday, if you're off tomorrow, right? You're going to go to work singing and happy, right? Well, if you're going to do what God wants you to do, you will. Work is a gift, number one, because it is a source of satisfaction. And number two, work is an opportunity to serve God. I'm going to read Ephesians 6:5-8. And when I come to the word slave, I'm going to substitute the word employee, because in biblical times, most workers were slaves. And then see if it doesn't take on a different flavor. "Employees, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like employees of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. Now, how many of you are going to go to work tomorrow or Tuesday, and you're going to do so with the thought that I'm going to be serving God? Jeff, when you go to work at Walmart, do you ever think I'm serving God? Les, when you go to work at Haynes, do you think I'm serving God? Leonard, when you went to work at the city of Cherville, did you ever say I'm going to serve God? And yet that's what the Bible says. It says, as you serve your earthly employer, do it as if you were serving Jesus Christ, knowing that God will reward you for the work that you do. One of the men in our church, last week in Sunday school, he said, I want my class to pray for me because work is sending me out of the country. He's going to Hong Kong, China, Vietnam, and Indonesia. Okay? Going to be gone for 3 weeks. And here's what he said. I want you to pray that God will use me as a witness in every one of those places. Isn't that a great attitude? You know, Kathy, instead of getting on an airplane to go to a foreign country to do a mission trip, his employer is sponsoring him on a mission trip. They just don't know it. And by the way, he's going into places that are communist. Indonesia is the largest Muslim population in the world. You understand that where he goes to be a witness at many of these places, he can be locked up and put in jail. Listen, I don't want to go to an American jail. I certainly don't want to go to a foreign jail. But he's already asking the Sunday school class, pray for me. Because you see, he understands that I can go to work, and as I work, my work can actually serve God. Now, what would happen to you? Don't raise your hand, but how many of you hate your job? How many of you hate the place you work at? How many of you wished you worked somewhere else? Well, what if you got up tomorrow or Tuesday or the next day you go back to work, and instead of I'm going to work, you think I'm going to my mission field. I'm on mission for God, and my mission field is the schoolyard. My mission field is the factory. My mission field is the office. My mission field is wherever it is that you're employed. A third reason that work is a gift is work is an opportunity to glorify God. You understand that our world is not impressed that you worship God today. But I do believe that they're impressed when you worship God and serve God everywhere. 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. One of the things that has made Western civilization great is this. It was the invention of the printing press. And what was the first book ever printed? It was the Bible. And then when people were able to get a copy of the Bible, they wanted to hear what God had to say. And when they read their Bible and they saw what God had to say about work, it produced what is called today the Protestant work ethic. And it changed all of society. You see, prior to that, they were very rich, educated people, and they were very poor peasant workers. But people like John Wesley went around and preached, work all you can, save all you can, give all you can, and it transformed Western civilization and developed a whole class of people called the middle class. And unless I've missed it, most everybody in this room today is in that group of people, middle class. And it was all because of the Protestant work ethic. Now, here's a couple of things that are taught in the Protestant work ethic. Number one, all honest work is good, regardless of its prestige or its compensation. No matter what title you have, no matter what kind of work you do, if it's good and if it's honest, it doesn't matter how much it pays, it is still good work if it's an honest work that you do. Now, sometimes we are impressed by titles. I had a friend of mine in college, and he had a job. You know what it was? He was a soil evacuation specialist. Any of you ever heard of that? That's a ditch digger. Yeah. Well, you see, the title doesn't change the fact that it is hard work, okay? But it doesn't matter what you do. You might say, well, you know what? My job's a garbage collector. There's no value in that. Yes, there is. Have you ever heard of a thing called the Black Plague? It killed 60% of the European population. It took Europe hundreds of years to recover. You want me to tell you what caused the Black Plague? 200 million people died because they were bit by a flea. They carried a disease that it got off a rat. And what happened during that time, many people were moving off the farm, they were moving into cities. Cities were dirty and garbage and trash piled up. That attracted rats. And the rats came and they had the fleas. They bit the people. The people got a disease. And 60% of the population died. I mean, how many of us, when we have a little junior and we're holding him there in the hospital, say, I hope you grow up to be a garbage collector? But you understand, if they weren't garbage collectors, we would be in a mess. I want you to know, in the next couple of weeks, the garbage collectors are going to be high in value in the state of Texas. Because it's going to be piled up. And if somebody doesn't do it and somebody doesn't handle it, there'll be disease and death galore. Number two, hard work is a blessing because it builds character and inner strength. Nobody's ever died from hard work. They'll interview some person in a nursing home, they're 110 years old, and they say, what do you attribute your long life? And every time they'll say, clean living and hard work. I'm reminded of John F. Kennedy. He was running for president. He was at that time a United States Senator. And he was campaigning in the coal mines of West Virginia. And one old coal miner came up to him and he says, is it true that you're one of the wealthiest families in America? He said, it is. Is it true that you have never worked a hard day's worth of labor with your hands in your whole life? He said, it is true. And he looked at him and he said, you ain't missed a thing. Well, what will happen is hard work builds character. I remember I was working in a machine shop when I was going to college. And I went into this place and everybody in there was a boogerhead, okay? I mean, they just lived hard, played hard, partied long. And here I am studying for the ministry. They gave me the nickname Rabbi. And I come in every morning, they'd say, good morning, Rabbi. And they'd laugh at me, they'd mock me, they'd make fun of me. And listen, I got stuck on the machines that cut cast iron. Okay, if you know anything about a machine shop, you don't want to be on cast iron. All that cast iron dust gets on you. You go home and you think you've taken a bath, and you get in the bed, and you start sweating. The next morning you wake up and your bed's rusted from all the iron dust that gets in the pores of your skin. We didn't have a cafeteria. You had to bring your own lunch. They'd steal my lunch just to see how I would react. They'd grease up my machines when I'd go to the bathroom. I'm standing there running my machine, and boom, all of a sudden something hits me in the back of the head, and they take a old rag and roll it around in grease and put all the metal shavings on it, and then be all in your hair and all, and they'd all just laugh. And you know what they were trying to do? They're trying to provoke a negative response. Well, folks, I want you to know, while I worked in that machine shop, I developed some character. I had to develop some integrity. I had to develop a witness in front of the world when the world was not being very kind. And then number three, honest hard work provides the path to prosperity. Proverbs 10:4, lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. You see, somehow you get in your head to think, well, if I'm athletic, I'm gonna get this big scholarship and I'm going to become a pro. You think, oh, if I'm really smart or if I'm gifted or I'm talented. Listen, there's a lot of gifted, talented, athletic people that have nothing in life. And the reason for that is they're lazy, okay? God honors and blessed hard work. As a matter of fact, 70% of Americans say the key to getting ahead is hard work. That's more important than giftedness, education, or luck. Hard work. And then number four, the believer honors God in an honest job well done. So when you go to your job tomorrow or Tuesday or whenever it is, and you work hard, it is a good advertisement for the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be a great testimony if every employer in America was saying to their HR department, see if you can find some Christians. See if you can hire some Christians because they're the hardest working, most dedicated, most committed, the most honest employees we could possibly find. Folks, that's what it should be. That's what it should be. Hudson Taylor is a great missionary in China. He was the director of the Inland China Mission. And one day he was interviewing candidates for the mission field. And a one-legged man came in. You know, mission work is pretty demanding, psychologically, spiritually, and physically. And he said to him, he said, what makes you want to go to the mission field with only one leg? And he looked up and he said, when I look around, I don't see many two-legged people going. You know what he was saying? I want to go because I see there's a need, and I don't see many people volunteering to meet the need. Number four, the fourth reason that work is a gift is work is an opportunity to provide for your family. Titus 3:14, our people, who's that? God's people. Our people must learn. It's not automatic. You've got to learn it. To devote themselves to doing what is good in order that they may provide for daily necessities and not live unproductive lives. God says that His people should learn to work so that they can provide for the necessities of their family. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that a man that won't work is worse than an infidel. Now notice it didn't say you can't work, it said you won't work. And so the Bible says it's an opportunity to provide for my family. As a matter of fact, the Bible also goes on to say if a man won't work, he shouldn't eat. But we live in an entitled society today that feels like that society owes them something, that the government owes them something. You understand the government doesn't have anything. The government doesn't produce anything. The government only takes away from somebody who has to give it to somebody that doesn't have. God said His people are to learn to devote themselves to doing that. It is good. What is that? That's work. To do what? To provide for my family. So when you go to work, what should be your attitude? Any of you ever heard Jerry Clower? He's a Christian comedian. He's with Jesus now. He's a big old guy. All right. As a matter of fact, he won a college football scholarship. Not because he was athletic, but just because he was big. The first year he was on the team, the team is having a losing season. The coach is frustrated, and he reaches over and grabs him, and he says, Clower, I want you to go out there and get ferocious. He says, okay, coach, what's his number? Now, Clower was looking for a person, but the coach was looking for an attitude. I believe God is looking for his people to have an attitude when you go to work. What kind of attitude is that? Number one, I will work with an attitude of thanksgiving. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, does that sound like work? Work something you do? Well, I'm going to do it to the glory of God, giving thanks. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You say, preacher, but if you worked where I worked, you'd know there'd be nothing to be thankful for. Well, there's always something to be thankful for. Number one, just thank God you got a job, okay? Next off, thank God that you're well enough and healthy enough to go to work. There's people right here in this church right now who wish they were healthy enough to get up and go to work. You see, there's always something to be thankful for. Number two, I will work with an attitude of offering. That is, I'm going to offer God my service. I'm going to offer God my best. In Romans 12:1, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, that is, based on what Jesus Christ did on the cross, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now, how many of you think that when I go to work on Monday and what I'm doing for the glory of God, and if God is glorified, that I've actually worshiped by working? And yet, that's what the Word of God says. Queen Mary of England was a very popular queen. She would often go out into the countryside to mingle with her subjects. One day she was taking a stroll in the countryside in Scotland. It came up a terrible storm, and she was not prepared. She stopped at his house, knocked on the door, and a woman came, did not recognize her. And she says, ma'am, can I borrow an umbrella? I will send it back tomorrow. Well, she had two. One of them was beat up and not in very good shape, and one of them was brand new. And she thought to herself, I'm not going to give this woman my good umbrella. And so she gave her the dilapidated one. She thought, well, I'll never see it again anyway. The next day, there's a knock at the door. She went to the door, and there is one of the royal guards. And he says, ma'am, on behalf of the queen, I want to thank you for letting her use this. And the woman just broke down and cried. She said, oh, my. I didn't realize it was for the queen. And she began to weep and sob. She said, I didn't give the queen my best. I gave her junk. I wonder how many times we go to work and we're supposed to be serving God, and instead of giving God our best, we give him junk. So what kind of attitude should I have when I go to work? Well, I'm offering God my very best. And then last, number three, and I will work with an attitude of expectation. That is, I'm going to expect God's going to bless me at work and use me to accomplish his purposes. Colossians 4:5 says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Folks, I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. But as I look around, I see all of the signs that say the time for the return of Christ is imminent. All right? And if that's the case, we need to make the most of every opportunity. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about on your job. Last man goes on a business trip. He does business and he's on his way back. Before he gets on the airplane, he says, God, help me witness to somebody on this airplane. He gets stuck in the middle aisle, and he gets stuck in the middle seat. And he says, all right, God, this is going to give me two opportunities to witness, one on the left and one on the right. So they come in there, and he takes his seat, and the guy comes down there, sits down, and says, man, I'm just dead tired, stretches his seat back, and in just a minute or two, he's sound asleep. The woman comes in and sits on the other side. gets all of her stuff set out and takes out a book. And she's reading this book about New Age religion. And he's praying, God, help me have an opportunity to share with this woman. And the woman's reading and she closes her book. She looks up at him and says, you know what? I have found no fulfillment in my work. I've broken up with my fiancé. We were planning to get married. And she said, I'm looking for something. I'm looking for something that will satisfy. I'm looking for something deeper in life. This man smiled at her and says, ma'am, can I share with you what I found? She said, I'd love to hear what it is you found. And right there on that airplane, he shared Jesus Christ. Folks, he wasn't in church. He wasn't in Sunday school. He wasn't out on faith. He wasn't out on the mission field. You know what he was doing? He was just coming back from work. But see, he had an expectation that God can use him anywhere and anytime. Do you understand that there are people that will never come to this church, they'll never hear me preach, they'll never hear your Sunday school teacher teach, but they will watch your life and they will listen to your words and you are a witness there on your job and you can expect God to work in and through you to touch other people's lives. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. I'm wondering who's here today, and you'd say, God, I've been grumbling and complaining about my job. Lord, I want to come today and repent. I want to first off say, thank you, God, that I have a job. I want to thank you, God, that I have the health and the strength that I can work. And I wonder who would come today and say, God, help me to see my job as a mission field. Lord, I've been irritated with a certain worker. It's not doing their load, and they're putting more on me. God, I can't stand my boss man. But Lord, help me to see my job as a mission field. Help me to go to work this coming week, God, with a conviction that I'm serving you and not people. The truth of the matter is, most of us spend more of our waking hours at work than we do any other place. And God wants you to represent Him as His ambassador in the marketplace. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we have a time of commitment and renewal, I pray, Lord, that we would commit ourselves to bring glory and honor to You no matter where we're at. God, I pray for those folks that are in a hard place, that God, that they might have a fresh vision of work and what it's all about. And God, that You'd encourage them and inspire them and strengthen them, God, to be Your witness there on their jobs. Father, as we make our commitments, may we do that, God, which will honor You and please You in Jesus' name. Amen.